What up, what up, people? We're going to get into some nitty gritty today. We're going to get into debting and under earning, something that I know a lot about because I have also been in that category and have got a lot of help with it. And I've noticed that many of the people in the beauty industry that are attracted to me, you know, because water seeks its own level, also have these issues. If I'm in my DM talking to people about ebooks that I have for $29, classes that I have for $60, one-on-ones that I have for $165, and people say I'm saving up for it, that is a sign that you're under-earning, or that you're debting, or that you're meticulously budgeting and working on things, and then you just don't have it at that time. But mostly it has to do with under-earning and debting. So let me read this. If you've ever said any of these things, you're going to want to tune in. I've got to get these credit cards paid off, then I'll be okay. My credit score is shot and I just have to rebuild it. If I could only get the tax authorities or my spouse or my partner or my boss or these creditors or my parents off my back, then I'd be fine. I have to get my phone or power or internet turned back on. If I cut expenses, I'll be able to get by. If I could just learn to save money, I wouldn't have to borrow it. And this is the biggest one. I just need to make more money. Some of us have some compulsions and things that even if we make more money, it's not gonna solve our problems. So let's get into this today. Are you a beauty professional who's a self-proclaimed artist and product junkie, yet lacks in the business and marketing aspect of your businesses? Each episode of All Things Nazha, I'll deliver creative solutions for creative people, sharing with you fun tips and tricks and business basics to deliver the best to your business, to yourself, and to your customers. In essence, I want to help you run your business so your business isn't running you. Okay, so here we go. There are two things. There's one thing called under-earning, and then there's one thing which is compulsive spending and compulsive debting, but they both go under the category of debting. I went to something called DA. It's called Debtors Anonymous. Now, when I was there, what I recognize is that it's not only about people compulsively shopping, people compulsively debting. There's also another side, which is under earning. And then I saw, I think that is a lot of times what nail professionals are suffering from, right? You're not making enough. You don't have enough worth to charge your services or to go out and find the people and those kind of things. So it has to do with under earning. So let me read this, and this is for people if it's helpful for you. If it's not, go to the next podcast, or if you feel you have this all figured out or has never been a problem for you, I'm really happy for you. Please email me or contact me so we can utilize you to help others, right? Because we need all the support we can get, and I'm starting support groups for self-care, a sisterhood community. If this has never been your issue, then that's really great. But a lot of us in this beauty industry, based on our childhood, based on how our parents has handled money and handled us and our worth, this does become a really great problem. So let me go over this. Are you an under-earner? Here's questions to see if you're an under-earner, because it's more than just not making enough money each week. That's a big thing, right? Okay, but are you an under-earner? One, are you usually in debt? Do you have little money in savings and few assets? Many people don't have savings. Just so you know, in America, more than 50%, way more than half, don't have more than $1,000 in savings. So if that's you, not to worry. That was me a number of years ago. I was behind on my taxes. I got all that caught up. I got all that, and I have savings now. And that was from spending a lot of money, 12 years in therapy and in coaching and in things like that. So that's why I now have the heart and integrity to continue to help. I don't want to just go amassing a bunch of money. That's not going to make me happy. I want to help the people that were in my same type of chaos. So, are you often in financial crisis? A lot of times people in the DMs are telling me, oh, I wanted to get your class, but my car broke down unexpectedly. Now that I put all this money up. You have to get out of the mindset, people, of thinking unexpectedly. Life is unexpected. Life, yes, does have a divine plan. Everything is as it is, but we're usually not living there. We can't see. We don't know it. So we'll think, oh, you know, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, my e-file broke. Unexpectedly, my car broke. It's like the reason to have savings is for these expected, unexpected things. Your refrigerator is going to die and break, and if you need to purchase it, it shouldn't be a crisis that you have to go spend $600 to $800 to $1,000 on a refrigerator. Now, for most of us, it is. For me, it was at one time, and I've built my life so I don't live in this constant struggle and crisis, so I want to help you with this. This all has to do with your nail and beauty career too. Okay, so some of the other questions, are you an under earner? Do you often feel stress, pain, and fear over money? Do you do a lot of unpaid work, volunteer, charity, or showcase work? Unpaid work could also be considered if you're doing nail art, but just being like, just throw it in there, or I don't know what to charge, or just give me $5, but you know it's supposed to be $18 to $20, okay? Another question, are you an under-earner? Do you make do with clothes and possessions that are old, worn out, or insufficient? My therapist who was helping with this said, you can really tell a debtor by looking at their socks and their underwear. If you have a bunch of holes, and also bras, you know, if your bra used to be white, but now it's gray, if you have holes in your bras and your socks and your underwear, that is a sign that you're in crisis and that you're under-earning. And you want to not deprive yourself of those things. It doesn't mean go out and spend $400 on a whole year's worth of underwear. Just don't wear the holy stuff. But as you get more into this, you'll be able to see that there's a spending plan for clothes and for things like that. Okay, another question, are you an under-earner? Are you certain something will come along to ease your financial situation, right? This magical thinking, some job, some person on social media will recognize me, some man or some woman will come along that will help me, someone, something big will make it, right? I had this a lot. If I just keep working hard enough, someone will recognize me, or this will fall into place, or that will fall into place. It just doesn't work. Magical thinking does not work. Actual action and a plan and a strategy works. And my motto is always keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Any small thing helps. Even listening to this podcast today, you might be down and out, totally full of blues, but listening to this podcast is you moving forward. You're trying to better yourself. You're trying to hear. And hopefully this is helping. Okay, two more things for are you an under-earner? Do you fear spending money and feel resentful when you must, but sometimes go on buying binges? Do you believe that money would solve all your problems? This is from the book, Are You an Under-Earner? That the book is actually called Earn What You Deserve, How to Stop Under-Earning and Start Thriving. These are just some characteristics of under-earners. If you answered yes to many of these questions and are ready to change the way in which you relate to money, you will find here the practical help and empowerment you need from someone who has conquered under-earning in his own life. This is from the author Gerald Mundis. So there is where you can see, are you an under-earner or not? Now, the other questions that I asked has to do with debting, meaning that you have a compulsive issue with spending, all those things. If I just get these credit cards paid off, I'll be fine. If I just make more money, I'll be fine. The thing is, if you don't know what you're doing now with money because you don't have enough and you're not planning and budgeting to make enough and to have a savings plan and those kind of things, then even if you got a big lump sum of money right now, you wouldn't really know what to do with it, right? Some people would, but if you are under this category, you won't. There's been people that have had these issues for real, and have won the lottery, and 3 years later ended up in more debt than they were before after winning millions of dollars. Same thing with people getting big chunk jobs. You know, in Hollywood, people get, $30,000, $100,000, $400,000 for a contract job, And then when that job is over, they don't have any money left and they're in debt. They didn't help them. So you gotta get this wrapped around your head now while you don't have the money. Now, if you do have the money and just need a little help moving around and organizing it, I can also help with that. But this is for mostly the people that are under-earning, that are, you know, saying, oh, I'll have that are saying, oh, if I just get a big chunk of money, I'll know what to do and I'll get out of it. But the thing is, if you don't have basic money of how to deal with a $20 bill and how to break that up and how to utilize it and how to get the best gas prices and all that, you won't know when you have a lump sum of $400,000. There's been people that have come along and have offered me $250,000 or $50,000 to invest in something, anything. They're like, anything. And I didn't have the proper ideas, I didn't have the proper execution, and I did not take that money. Because if I would have took that money, I didn't know what to do with it, and it just would have been a nightmare. So I know some people say, I would have took it, I wouldn't know what to do. Okay, well, if you know what to do, I would hope that you would, but a lot of people in our position, messy. All right, so listen. Now, this is from talking about compulsions, right? The compulsion to under-earn, the compulsion to overspend, the compulsion to overeat, the compulsion to sleep and not go to work. These are compulsions, right? And this is what a compulsion is, because it says, what does it mean to be a compulsive debtor? It means that our behavior with debt is characterized by compulsion. Now, there's also something called time debting. That was really hard when I heard that. I was like, oh my God. Time debting is when you're late. You're always late. You're late. You're time debting. And debting is really heavy metaphysically. There's also debting when, you know, you're taking and taking and taking and not giving. You know, you're constantly taking from a friend. You're constantly taking from someone, but not giving anything, not even giving praise or thanks or, you know, equal time. You got to have these balances equaled out. So what does it mean to be a compulsive debtor? It means that our behavior with debt is characterized by compulsion. Now, this is important. A compulsion is a consuming need to engage in certain behaviors that, although they may provide a sense of triumph or satisfaction or security in the short run, in the end, cause pain and unmanageability in our lives and the lives of those around us. In the midst of our compulsion, we really believe that purchasing a certain item will make us fit in or make us happy. I want to talk to you about that. I think a lot of us have compulsion actions that don't have to do with revenue making. Meaning, say right now, you don't have enough money. You're not making enough money to pay your bills, to pay your suite. You're not making enough money to really make it doing your beauty services. Yet, what you want to do, you get a compulsive urge and you just have to compulsively do it. Believe me, I fight with this daily and I still follow my compulsions, but I'm just trying to help us. The compulsion urge to, well, I got to archive all my pictures on Instagram and make my page flow better and I got to do all this, rather than going out and getting a paying client. Do you really think that today, if you need money, you by organizing and redoing your page and making it aesthetically pleasing is going to make you money? Let me tell you right now, the answer is no. You can get onto Instagram, I'll applaud, and DM a bunch of people, contact all your old clients, go hunting and finding new people. One of those people may book with you. I'm telling you right now, by making your page more aesthetically pleasing, if you're just trying to get paying clients or sell press-ons, if you're trying to do something else and you're using your page to actually get companies to pay you money and do this, maybe, maybe not. But what I'm trying to say is, you know it, right? You compulsively organized your nail art drawer. You compulsively cleaned up your Instagram page, mostly because of the intensity of you first not having enough money. The intensity of feeling like, oh man, I don't have any clients, or maybe this isn't the right job for me, or nobody likes me. And then it just, the world starts to come crumbling down and then you want to do something. It's better than taking no action. It's better than just going smoking and going driving to the beach and be like, I just can't take anything more, right? You took some action. You tried to clean up your Instagram page. But what I want you to try to do is get into the mind of not having these compulsion actions and actually take revenue-producing action. A revenue-producing action would be you going out and about to any of those 55 places that I have in my ebook, The 55 Places to Market Your Beauty Business. The link is in my Instagram bio, or you can find it on my website, najanailguru.com. That is a revenue producing activity. You're going out and you're marketing yourself to people in person. You're going on Instagram and you're going to spend 30 minutes actually hunting for clients, not getting caught up on memes, not looking at other people's things, none of that. You're actually going onto pages, you're liking people's pictures, you're DMing them that you have a nail special going on this month, that kind of stuff. Revenue producing income. Revenue producing income would be making a couple sets of press-on nails and then going to drop it off at people that work at the boutique or going into the bar or the lounge and saying, hey, do you want to wear these? Revenue producing techniques is going through your whole list of clients, even if you only have 10, or if you have 40, or if you have 400, sending all of them a blast message saying, this Wednesday they have an opening, and all next week I have a special $10 off if you refer a friend, or if you want a paraffin treatment. Anything to get money coming in, right? This is what we need to do to help that compulsive behavior to just want to decorate and make our, you know, make our blog look so beautiful and do all this. All that can be done while revenue is coming in. See, us artists, what we want to do, because I do this all the time, I'm helping people that want to open salons and do things, and they come to me with the most beautiful furniture. I'm going to have this nail art bar. Someone had like their nail art and bling on one of those revolving like a cake stand that's always at diners and bakeries, like with the revolving. It was so beautiful. But yo, that's all just a decoration. I'm like, well, how much is the rent going to be? I don't know. I'm still looking. How many technicians will you have? And what is the potential for the salon to make every week or every month? I don't know. See, us artists, we want to do all the decorating, the fun stuff, but the math work and all that stuff, we're like, oh man, we don't have that down. That's what drives our compulsion even more. So if you're in this category of the people that I'm dealing with that are, you know, coming to me and saving up, I got to save up $29 for your book. I got to save up $69 for a class. I got to save up $165 for one-on-one with you. I get it because I was there, and that's why I'm offering what I'm offering at these prices right now. Guarantee you, I can tell you after January, they will not be this price. And by this time next year, they won't even be close to that price. But for now, that's what I'm doing. So if you're in that category where you don't have $165 to invest in yourself and your business, you've got to take what I'm saying for real, because it won't work out on its own. Magical thinking will not work out. Something, you know, we talked about it earlier. Well, something or some person or some amazing thing will come and save me. It won't. You and only you can do it. Someone can help. Maybe I'm helping you. I'm helping you, but I'm not saving you. You have to take action. So if you're in that category, what I want you to do is this. Take out a pen and paper or write it in your digital thing and put down Monday through Friday. This is what you have to figure out. How many days a week are you working? We're just going to use an example that you're working 5 days a week and you want to make $4,000 a month. You might need to make $2,000. You might need to make $8,000. Whatever it is. But if you're making zero consistently, let's start with $500 a week or $1,000 a week, depending on where you live. $1,000 a week, that's $400 a month. This is not a lot of money, but this is a base to get you started. Monday through Friday, and you put a little dash, and if you want to make $4,000 a month, you need to make $200 a day, 5 days a week. And if it's going to be less, you need to make, if you want to work 4 days a week, okay, it's $300 a day, that kind of stuff, right? We're just going to use the example of 5 days a week, $4,000 a month, $200 a day. What do you need to do to make $200 a day? And this will help you. Believe me, when you stop keeping track of this, you'll stop making money. If you continue to keep track of this, and if you fall off, just get right back on. Get right back on. Make a commitment that from now to the end of your business life, you will do this, because this is what I've done. And I've fallen off a lot. Sometimes for a day, sometimes for a week, sometimes for a month. I get right back on it. Guaranteed. Every time I'm on it, every time. And I say that I have a goal, whatever my goal is, but for now we're talking about $200 a day, 5 days a week. I usually always make that goal. And the thing is, say one day you make $150, then you know the next day you try to push yourself to make $250. But at the end of the week, there could be some zeros and there could be some $400 days, but we want $1,000 at the end of the week. By keeping track of this, the first time I did this was in 2008, I tripled my revenue just by me keeping track of it. So please, I know we like pen and papers and notebooks, and I do too. So take out a little notebook, keep it in your purse, keep it near your bedside table, keep it at your nail desk, keep it wherever it is that you do that kind of work. And right now, write out the whole week, Monday through Friday. And for me, I put Saturday and Sunday with a little dash. I don't really work on Saturday and Sunday, but from the work I've done during the week, sometimes then people will purchase products and stuff on Saturday and Sunday. So I put that there, and that's like a little bonus money, and it's great. So every day when you don't make it, so say one week you make $813, you didn't make $1,000. So the next week you really push and try to make that difference. So it would be $1,000 and like $190, something around there, right? You want to make $1,190 that week. So what are you going to do? This is the stuff that when you're feeling depressed, you're feeling lazy, like, oh, I'll just go smoke and walk around the block. Oh, I'll just go to Starbucks. Oh, I'll just drive to the beach. I don't have any clients today. No, you won't, because you have a goal to make $200 a day. And what is it you're going to do? And even if you get fed up and you have this compulsive mindset, well, I'm driving to the beach anyway. Okay, drive to the beach. But on the way, you better stop at two places and market yourself, because you need to make $200 per day. This is the only way to get out of your mindset, is if you were in the category of those under earnings and you right now are not making enough money, or you are someone that's telling me I'm saving for your $29 book. Believe me, I'm not judging you. I was like that, yo. I would have not 5 cents. And if you're not a person that does, there's a lot of people that understand that, yo. They don't get that. But if you are one of those people, you'll get it. So this is the way to do it. But if you do understand that, then I'm talking to you. Don't worry. And really take this, what I'm saying. It might feel bad, but it is not your fault. It is actually not your fault that you're under earning, that you have these compulsive ways. It's not your fault. I know you're going to feel like it's your fault, and that's why you beat yourself up. That's why you're overindulging in the beginning. That's why you have these perfectionist issues, but it's not your fault. However, this is the important part. It is not your fault, yet it is your responsibility to heal from them. That is the thing. It is not your fault, so you can stop beating yourself up for being, why am I this way and why am I this and I'm doing this, and just realize that it is your responsibility to heal from it. It is your responsibility to stand on your own two feet. It is your responsibility to do revenue producing activity. That's the important part for you to recognize, that there is help. And here's the thing for you, you're not alone. I've had these issues and I've worked through them and I'm healing. So that means I still have them. They don't go away. You have them and you just have to manage and maintain them and counteract them. You're not alone, because I'm telling you, I was there. You're also not alone, because 95% of the people that I'm talking to, and I'm on the horn a lot, I talk to 1 to 300 people every week in the beauty industry. 95% of those people have these issues as well. So you're not alone. You're not a special kind of crazy. You're not a special kind of screw up. You're just a regular person that had some things happen, and your byproduct is that you compulsively under-earn, or you compulsively spend, or you compulsively debt, or you compulsively eat, or you spend mindlessly, or you have compulsions with your relationships and no boundaries at work, no boundaries at home, all this stuff. Not your fault, but it is your responsibility to heal, and there are ways to heal and people to support. You can start with me, and hopefully we'll even have other and more people to support. So I am starting, hopefully if you've signed up for it, hopefully within this week we're going to start these texts. There was some trouble with the texting service, but it's going to be a text that I'm going to be sending out, and then you can interact with me directly. We're not going to have access to everyone on the group, the text group, so it's not a group text like that. I'm sending out a text to you all, and you can reply back, and then you and I can banter, but it's called Self-Care for Beauty Stylists, a Sisterhood Community. I think I still have that name wrong, but I think it's, anyway, but it's something like that. I'm getting to that. But you see, I still take action. Still getting the text service, still sending out things, because I want to help all of us to support one another in our self-care endeavors, in our keeping our energies to ourselves, not getting so burnt out, little mindful meditations, hand exercises, quick things that we can eat so we can remember to eat, giving ourselves massages. We're seeing people all week long and then we don't even go get a massage or soak in baths or anything. So these kind of things to support us, because we're running on empty and we're running ourselves into the ground for what? That's what I want to know. What? For what? I've always been a deeply spiritual person and into God and can see the illusions of this stuff. It doesn't mean I don't get wrapped up. I work and live in Hollywood all the way to the point where they put me in front of a camera. So it's like, for what? What are you running yourself into the ground for? For what? For a materialistic culture so that you can be mentally and financially enslaved? What are you running yourself into the ground for real, right? We can work smarter and not harder and do our due diligence and do what we need to do and contribute. We need to contribute. We need to serve. But we don't need to run ourselves into the ground and throw ourselves by the wayside because we, you know, you can't give from an empty cup. You are a giver. For sure, if you're in the beauty industry, you are a giver. And if you want to fully give, you've got to care for yourself. That's how I got to this point now where I'm able to start self-care groups for people, because I have been able to care for myself and now I have enough energy and wherewithal and thriving to be able to do that. So I want to help you all too. I'm not a person that I want to be at the top and you don't go over. I hope that all of my students do more and better than me, because if you have the proper student-teacher relationship, then all of those students will say how they got there and I would be one of them. So my name would live on. That is a true teacher. If you have a teacher or a coach or someone that comes and you get the energy that they don't want you to do better than them, I'm telling you right now, that is not the right person. I'm telling you right now, I could care less. I hope you go and open up a million schools and do every celebrity on earth and win every Guinness World Record or whatever. I don't care. But I want, that is what makes a true teacher. They want their students to do better. Most of y'all are going to people, or people that we see are, they're just popular. They're popular in their craft and then they think they can go and teach, but they're not teaching people. So pass that one on. All right, peeps, that was a little side riff, but I love y'all. I hope you got something from this.